that the first part of the sentence containing the interrogation is on a single note, and then when the major last punctuation occurs, in this case it is a comma, the tone drops, and the final syllable has a rising two-note figure on it. I'll chant it again so you see that point. Quis est ista qui venit eodem, tintis vestibus debos raam. Now that figure for the interrogation is used throughout, so that it also occurs in the gospel chant. The second tone for the epistle is an ad libitum tone, just as is the ancient tones for the prayers that I mentioned. So I will skip over that, since we're concentrating on the normal examples without getting into the complexity and breadth that would be otherwise possible. Let us move on then to the gospel. Now the gospel, the principle for the gospel is that the fourth syllable before the end of the sentence is dropped a minor third. The interrogation is handled just as I explained with the epistle. The only other difference in the gospel is that there is a special conclusion which occurs on the next to the last accented syllable and sounds like the following. Hic magnus vocabitur in regno celorum. Now you'll notice that the next to the last accented syllable has a chorisma figure, so that the first of that triplet is stretched out a little, regno, so that the second one is a bit shorter. Notice also that the final accented syllable and the one or two syllables following it are dotted so that they would be lengthened a bit. Again, regno celorum. So we'll put those three principles together, the sentence ending with a drop of a third on the fourth syllable before the end of the sentence, with the interrogation figure being used and with the conclusion figure being used. This is the example given in the Liber Usualis. Dominus vobiscum. Sequentia sancti evangelii secundum Matteum. In illo tempore dixit Iesus discipulis suis, vos estis altere, quod si salevanu erit, in quo salietur. Ad nihilum valet ultra nisi ut mitatur foras, et concucetur abominibus. Qui autem fecerit et ocuerit, hic magnus vocabitur in regno celorum. Notice that drop of a third is also applies to the introduction to the gospel, that is, sequentia sancti evangelii secundum, and then the name of one of the evangelists. Notice that the principle is that the lowered note is the fourth syllable before the end of the sentence, regardless of where that may occur with respect to the accent of the last word or two words.
So, for instance, you have two evangelists with three-syllable names and two evangelists with two-syllable names. So, this introduction would be sung as follows for the three-syllable names. Secundum Matteum, Secundum Ioannem. And yet with the two-syllable names, it sounds a bit different, even though the principle is still the same. Drop the fourth note before the end of the sentence. Secundum Lucam, Secundum Marcum. I should point out, by the way, that the chant for the prayer applies not only to the oration but also to the post-communion. The next part of the Mass that is chanted by the celebrant is the preface and its introduction. This is the most sustained music that the celebrant must chant. However, it is fairly straightforward and, if carefully rehearsed, should cause no real difficulty. Of course, the preface changes according to the time of the year, so each of the prefaces will be a little different from the other. For the purposes of this example, I am going to use the preface of the Most Blessed Trinity, De Sanctissima Trinitate, because that is the most common, or the most frequently used preface in the year. This is simply a matter of chanting the notes as they are written with the syllables of the text over which they are written. Per omnia saecula saeculorum, Dominus vobiscum, sursum corda, gratias agamus Domino Deo nostro. Vere dignum et justum est equum et salutare, nos tibi semper et ubique gratias agere. Domine Sancte Pater Omnipotens Aeterne Deus, qui cum unigenito Filio Tuo, Spiritus Sancto, unus est Deus, unus est Dominus. Non in unius singularitate personae, sed in unius trinitate substantiae, quod enim de tuare gloria revelante te credimus, hoc de Filio Tuo, hoc de Spiritus Sancto, sine differentia discretionis sentimus, ut in confessione vere semper iterne qued eitatis, et in personis proprietas, et in essentia unitas, et in maiestate adoretur e qualitas, quam laudant angeli atque arcangeli,
cherubim quoque ac seraphim, qui non cessan clamare quotidie, una voce dicentes.
I noticed there were a few points in there where there was a chorisma, the shaky note, the note with a hatching at the top, which means that the preceding note is held a little longer and the chorisma note a little shorter. Now, the next part of the Mass, which is chanted by the celebrant, is the Paternoster. And the chant for that is indicated in the missal itself, and it sounds as follows with its introductory part.
Per omnia saecula saeculorum oremus precepti salutaribus moniti et divina institutione formati audemus dicere. Pater noster qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimite nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimitimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem.
And the next part chanted is after the embolism following, and that sounds like this.
Per omnia saecula saeculorum pax Domini sit semper vobiscum.
And those are all the chanted parts of the Mass outside the ones that I've already explained. Again, for those who can read some of the music, this will be a help. For those who do not have that background, you will have to rely on your ear. Of course, the key to this is adequate practice in advance. The chants are very ancient, and it is amazing how quickly they are remembered after they are chanted several times. So the best method is to review the chants in preparing for a sung Mass, perhaps going through the whole each day, or focusing on one particular chant, for instance the preface, and singing that several times a day until it is remembered. And if you have it remembered, it will be a refreshing of your memory to look at the notes in the missal as you do the actual chant. Of course, the chant should be practiced while you are looking at the notes in the missal. Again, the chanting should be even, modulated at the end, as I have indicated, by softening and lengthening a bit the last syllable or word before a period, a semicolon, or a colon. This is perhaps the major flaw of celebrants chanting, that they do not make the notes as even as possible. This is not speaking, it is chanting, and evenness is very important in the overall impression of sacredness and religiosity in these ancient chants.